Amen. If you understand the Word of God at all, and the people that fill its pages, then you probably understand that David had a special relationship with God. David just seemed to have a special connection with God. David was a man after God's own heart. David was the apple of God's eye. Why? Why did he attain this? Why was he so special? Why does he stand out in the Bible as someone who really understood and had a relationship with God? Because he trusted God. He had faith in God, and he knew how to please God when it came time to worship. I think those three things stand out more than anything else in David's life. David knew how to worship God. David knew how to have faith in God. David knew how to put everything in God. And I'm going to tell you something here this morning. They come together. It's a package. Because it's really hard to cut loose and worship God if you don't have any faith in God. It's really difficult to let yourself be exposed, so to speak, and maybe get out of the ordinary, so to speak, and maybe get out of your normal way of doing things and just let go and worship God, because you need faith in God to do that. But if you can just take that little piece of faith that He gave you, which is enough, it is all we need. That's why God gave us all the measure of faith. It's enough to meet God. It's enough to meet Him where He is. And if you can take that and invest it and say, I don't care how I look. I don't care what anybody else thinks. I don't care what anybody else is doing. I came here today to worship Jesus Christ. And when you do that, when you push everything else aside, when you put it all behind you and say, I am here to worship You, Jesus, that's when miracles happen. David had a God-given talent for putting things to words as God spoke them to him. He was a writer of songs or praises. We call them psalms. And whether he was up, whether he was down, whether he was high, or whether he was low, there's a theme of worship that runs through everything in the chapters and the books and all of the pieces of psalms. And whatever David did, there was something in him that just pushed him to worship and praise God. The scripture we read today says that we should praise His name in the dance. Praise His name in the dance. Now, I've got to be honest with you. I'm not a dancer. I know some of you were. Some of you may. Some of you may have enjoyed it. Not this one. I'm almost 100% positive that if I didn't know God at all, I still wouldn't dance. Because it's just not me. And it's not that I have no emotion. You know better than that. I can get excited. I could jump up and holler. Because when we think of dance, we think of a worldly version of dancing. And I've got rhythm. I played drums for years and years. I've got rhythm, and I can get it to come out in the right place. It's just not me. It's just not me to be that expressive in that way. But I can't help that. It really doesn't matter, Brother Mike, because the Bible said that we should praise Him in the dance. And so that's why I do my sorry little dance. I just jump up and down. That's it. That's my dance. I'm not going to impress anybody with it. But you know who loves it? Jesus loves it. Amen? It's not a competition. It's worship. It's worship. I may have told you this. I don't know. But when we pastored in Pittsburgh, I preached a whole message like this one, sort of. On dancing and dancing before God, and I challenged the church, and we had this little tiny church, and there's about 30 people there, and we were doing our best to just have a Holy Ghost hoedown. And I mean, we were going, and I said, look, this is what we need to do. I said, I want everybody to dance. And I looked in the back, and I thought they'd been in church long enough to be beyond this, but I missed it. I had a couple in the back of the church jitterbugging. Man, he was spinning her around, rolling her in, rolling her out, and they were going to town. I said, dance, and they danced. That's the only dance they knew. But you know what? I think God was pleased with it because they weren't trying to show off. They just said, well, that's what dance means to me. So dance they did. The Holy Ghost fell in that place. God moved in that house, did mighty works and miracles in that house. Church, there's something happens when we worship Jesus Christ. Some of you are already nailing yourself down. Some of you are already tightening the pew belt. Ain't going to get me to dance. I ain't going to dance. I don't care what he says. I don't care what he does. Y'all are funny. Amen. It's not me. It's Jesus. Amen. We get all worked up about, man, how am I going to look? And what is somebody going to say? And when I get done, maybe it'll make more sense to you. Will you just let me finish? Can we just finish? To the world, it may be an opportunity to show off or show how good they are. And it could get worse than that. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the world version of dancing. There's vulgarity involved sometimes and all that stuff. And that's not pleasing to God. That's not what God wants. Okay? That's not what I'm saying. God wants a show of humility, an act of total surrender. So if you're resisting it, it's going to take total surrender to get into it. Does that make sense? That's where we are. A complete submission of praise. He wants us to get so excited about what he is and who he is that everything starts to move. And everybody's going to have a different dance. Everybody's going to do it a different way. But it doesn't matter how we do it, as long as it's godly and before God and it pleases God, that's all that matters. Our flexibility, our ability to move was given to us by God so that we could move for God. We could flex and bend and move and all of that. And you know, it's God just loves it. I don't know. It's funny to me how people they love to dance in the world and they get all freaked out when they get into an apostolic service and somebody starts dancing. They don't know what to do. What is that guy doing? What is she doing over there? You got somebody over here doing a whirly bird, amen, and you got somebody over here that's got a little jig going, and they're thinking, what in the world has happened in this place? I'll tell you what's happened. Those people have been touched by God, or they have enough faith in God that God's going to do it, amen, and they're just worshiping him, and it just comes out everywhere. It goes beyond the hand clap. It goes beyond the raised hand. It goes beyond the voice, and it starts showing up in the knees and the ankles and then the feet and the hips and everything. Everything starts moving and worshiping God. I've seen people worship Satan that way. I have. We were in Philly a couple years ago. And we stopped downtown just to get out and walk around. We had to go over and take care of some business. And you know, when you're a pastor, pastor's wife, you learn me, you can make anything a date. You got, man, y'all tough today. Whew. So we went over to do something that needed to be done, and we said, well, we're here. Let's just take a couple hours for ourselves and enjoy ourselves. So we get out of the car, we park, and I'm not a real nervous person. I mean, I'm not going to put my wife in a bad situation intentionally, but most of the time, I figured nobody's going to bother me. I don't bother them, and I just mind my business. And so we parked. I didn't really know where we are. It looked like a pretty well-populated area. Get out of the car, and we start to walk. And, man, did we walk right into the Friday Night Freak Show. Whew. I have never seen more craziness in that amount of blocks in my life. If you could think of it, it was happening. These guys had set up loudspeakers on the sidewalk, big old PA system. They put these weird-looking hats on, looked like something between a dunce hat and a pope hat, and they had this weird big thing on it. I don't know what they were, and they got up there, and they put these weird robes on, and they were screaming and yelling about something. I don't know. I couldn't even understand what they were talking about. It was deafening. I mean, just so loud, you almost couldn't stand it. You could feel the spirit change. And then we get around the corner from that, and this other guy decided that he wanted to share his music with everybody. So he brought his PA out, set it up on the sidewalk, and I mean, he had it wide open, Brother Mike. You walk by, there was no way to get around. It's either go by these guys or go by this guy. So we went by just the loud guy. And we went by and it was almost like, I'm talking volume that should be reserved for stadiums. And it's right there, blasting in my head. And we get through there and I'm trying to get my wife out of this situation. And we come up on this guy. He was standing up, leaning up against a telephone pole, and he was literally wreathing like a snake. There is no human being that can move the way he was moving under his own power. And I looked at that, my wife looked at that, and I said, that poor man is possessed of a devil. And the devil is trying to get some joy out of this fake dancing. I got news for you. The reason why we struggle with it so much and the reason why we push against it so much is because the devil is there always telling you, don't you do that. Don't you do that. That's not you. That's not you. You don't want to dance. You don't want to dance. But why is he telling everybody else to dance? Because he was the worship leader in heaven until he messed up and God threw him out. And so he knows better than any of us will ever know what pleases God. In worship. That was his number one job. And so he does not want us to please God in that way. So he is trying to take it for himself. He tries to use people and to give himself glory through this. And they've got shows about it now. And there's whole TV deals about it now. And there's competitions all over the world. And people are into it and watching it and just diving right in. But when you start talking about dancing in church, everybody clams up. Because we don't understand it. But God does. God understands it. God understands worship. So some say, why do we dance? For what? Now I'm just going to have a little bit of fun here, if y'all will let me. And I'm going to break it into three categories that I think will make sense to us. And it was an example given to us by the indigenous people of the United States of America. Can we say it that way? Let me just make it plain, the American Indians. I could say that because I am one. And you are one. There's a few of us around here. We've got a lot of American. Now, Sister Maldonado, you couldn't deny it if you tried with all your life. Because you are clearly an American Indian. I could see it from a mile away. And I love it. But these people had some kind of an understanding, and I'm really messing with you. But I'm going to break it into three categories, and two of them we learned a little bit about from these people. The first one I'm going to call is the victory dance. Because when they were oppressed, and they had had enough, and they decided we're going to break out of this thing, and we're going to break away from this thing, and we're going to break this trouble off of us, when it all settled down and when the dust settled, they had what was known as a victory dance. I'm not going to show you how it went. What I'm trying to say is we need to not be afraid to have a victory dance in our life and when we're worshiping God. God loves it when we just get so amazed by His power and so amazed and overwhelmed by what He's done for us that it just breaks out and we begin to dance before the Lord saying, thank you, Jesus. Bless the name of Jesus. Look what God has done for me. Is anybody here with me today? Is anybody here excited about what God has done in their life? I serve a God that is real. I serve a God that has done miracles in my life. And I can't help it. Sometimes I think I'm dancing up here when I'm preaching. I never stop moving. It's kind of like a dance. That's a Wayne Gillis dance right there. I got to move. I can't stand still. What is wrong with that guy? I'll tell you what's wrong with him. The Holy Ghost is moving through him, and he can't hardly contain himself. And I'm trying to keep talking so I can preach, but it just wants to break out of me and take over. So if y'all would do that, I wouldn't have to. They're going to work me today. I'm trying to get them to dance, and I got three of these. Amen. Hallelujah. We're the bobblehead church. Man, this is how we worship. No, sir, we worship when we clap. We worship when we sing. We worship when we jump. We worship when we shout. We worship when we play instruments. We worship when we lift our voice to the Lord. We worship when we clap our hands, and we worship when we dance. That's how he loves it. Oh, they would have a big time, man. They danced and danced and danced. When they won a victory, they danced because they were able to overcome their enemy. Amen. When you overcome the enemy, you should not be afraid to show God some gratitude and to just celebrate a little bit, to just let it get a hold of you. Come on, really? If God does something miraculous for you, is your answer going to be, well, where's Brother Willie? Well, amen. Is that all we're going to get? Is that all that's going to happen? No. We get excited. You say, oh, I can't do it. Yeah, well, you wait till the game comes on this afternoon and your team wins. And you'll be climbing the ceiling, screaming and yelling, jumping on the couch. I know this is where I'm going. I need you to dance. I know what I'm talking about. I don't want you to tell me I'm telling you right. I want somebody to just break out in the spirit and say, that's it, I can't take anymore. I just got to get up and worship Jesus Christ. Because if we do that, God gets radical. You got a radical problem? You need to stir up a radical God. I know the Bible tells us that whatever goes up is what comes down. And if we're just barely getting any up there, we can expect a drip or two from heaven. But if we start pouring it on, God's going to start pouring it on. And I promise you, God can pour better than you ever could. God can bless you ever more than you could ever worship Him. God can pour things into your life way beyond your wildest imagination. Because He's God. I say, man, the pastor's preaching about Indians. Well, they danced when David slew Goliath. They danced when God destroyed the Egyptians at the Red Sea. I could go on and on and on, but I think you get the point. When God did something great, the people of God danced. It affected them. Amen. Come on. Now, they were in bondage for 400 years. They just watched God do a major miracle in their life, deliver them all from destruction. Yay. That's not what was going on the other side of the Red Sea. Now, somewhere in my mind, I think that was the first apostolic church service. Because somebody pulled out a tambourine and somebody started a song service and the congregation got involved and things got hot and heavy between God and man. And man was worshiping God and man was praising God. And just God was just getting bigger and stronger by the minute. I'm telling you, God reacts to our praise. I did all that work to convince you that that's the easiest dance we can do. It's easy to dance the victory dance. You got all kind of reason to be happy. We've got all kind of reason to say, man, God did it. 2 Samuel 6:12, and it was told King David, saying, the Lord hath blessed the house of Obadiah and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God. And so David went and brought the ark of God from the house into the city of David with gladness. Somebody say he was happy. And it was so that when they bare the ark of the Lord, or the presence of God, had gone six paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. And David danced before the Lord with a half-hearted effort. All his might. Roll it back a couple years. This is the guy that charged Goliath. This is the guy that beat the bear. This is the same guy, right, that beat the lion. So I have a feeling that was a pretty radical dance. If that guy, the champion warrior of Israel, decided, I'm not swinging a sword right now, I'm swinging some praise. I think he just busted out all over the place. Amen. The Bible said he took off his kingly robes and just became a man in the sight of God. He realized, I'm not a king in the presence of God. I may be a king to the people, but to God, I'm just a man, but that's my God. And my God has moved into town. My God has come into my city. My God is coming to bless me. My God is coming to do some great things. And so I can't help myself, but I'm just going to have to dance. Oh, and dance he did. And it says, so David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. It was a great time. It was an amazing, amazing time. People say, yeah, but Pastor, you didn't read the rest of the story. Because his wife was looking out the window and started mocking him and said, David, you look stupid. But the end of that story is David was blessed and Michael was barren. God was pleased with David's dance. He was pleased. The second dance that the original people of the Americas would do was known as the war dance. Some of us need to know how to do some war dancing. Some of us need to figure out the concept. This dance was to let everybody in the neighborhood know that the time of being passive was over and we're coming. They would begin to beat the drums. They would begin to dance around and howl and making all kinds of noise and doing whatever they did and whatever they called dancing, whatever they were doing. I don't know. I don't understand what they were saying. But everybody in the whole area understood we're in big trouble. Because they're coming after us, and they're not coming to shake our hand. They're not coming to negotiate. They're coming for war. That's a war dance. We put up with too much from hell. We tolerate too much stuff from the devil. We take too much stuff coming out of the pits of hell. We take too many attacks. We tolerate too much pressure. We deal with way too much depression. We fight with and tolerate way too much sickness. And we deal with all of this stuff. And we deal with it and we deal with it. But somebody needs to say that is enough. I will not be oppressed anymore. I will not be kept in this little place anymore. I'm breaking out of here and I'm going to let them all know because I'm going to dance before it ever happens. I'm going to call this my war dance. Jesus, I know you're going to do it. Jesus, I know you're going to deliver my kids. Jesus, I know you're going to take that addiction away. Jesus, you're about to do a miracle in my life. Jesus, come on, that's what I'm talking about. Come on, we need to do some war dancing around here. Oh! Maybe this enemy had caused them harm, and there was a time of weeping and counting a loss. And we all go through those times, and we go through those periods where we get hit and we didn't expect it, and we go down on one knee, or maybe we fall flat on our face, but we are not to live there. We may get oppressed. The devil may get the upper hand once in a while. And once in a while, we're even going to lose a battle or two. But that's not the war. Unless you let it be. There's only one way to not let it be the war. You're going to have to get up and do some war dancing. My devil, you took a shot at my kids. And you're messing with my child's mind. Or you're coming after my husband. Or you're coming after my marriage. And you're trying to mix me all up. And you're trying to put too much pressure that I can bear. Well, I've had enough of you. And I'm going to break out in this Holy Ghost war dance. Because I know God's about to do something miraculous. I know God's about to send you packing. Amen. Come on, church. We can't just lay down and take it. We got to get up and dance. We got to get up and dance. Psalms 149 says, praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. There it is again, that same scripture. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people, and he will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints saints be joyful in glory, and let them sing aloud on their bed. My wife's favorite scripture. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth. And this is where it gets interesting. And a two-edged sword upon the people. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, and to execute upon them judgment written. This honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. What does that mean? It means when we break out in a war dance, God puts something within us that shuts down the enemy. It begins to bind the things that have attacked your home. It begins to come against those things that have oppressed you and pressed upon you. Come on, church. When we start praising and thanking God, it's one thing for what he has done. But when we start war dancing or praising God before he's done it, it causes him to do it, which then brings us to the place of the victory dance. If we can't war dance, we're going to have very few victory dance. And I like the victory dance. I love it when God does a miracle. I love it when God does something amazing. The third dance I want to talk about today is what I'm going to call the deliverance dance. This one's a little different. Sometimes God will do something for us so special and so unexpected that we react in an unexpected way just because we can. Brother Rick talked about this morning. I was just feeling a little confirmed in this message today because he began to teach about this or preach about this in Manahawkin. Just a little bit in a different direction, but using the same portions of Scripture. You see, it's one thing to not be willing to dance. It's another thing to not be able to dance. The lame man that laid at the gate beautiful could not dance. It was not an option. The Bible says that he was there from his mother's womb. As Brother Rick pointed out this morning, sorry, son, I'm repeating some of the things you said, but I had it in my notes too, so. He had to be carried everywhere. He was humiliating, degrading, I'm assuming. They carry him there, they put him in front of the gate. People are going into the temple, into the gate beautiful. And he would sit there all day and he would ask for people to help him. And he would cry out something like this, "Alms! Alms, just enough. I'm going to translate it. Just enough. I just need just enough to get by today. God, I just need a little bit of help just to get through today." What he was asking the people, what he was asking for of the people going by was, "I just need bread for today. I just need a little blessing for today. I need you to just give me a little bit here today." But Peter and John came along. And he reached out to them because they were just people. And he said, "Could you give me just a little?" And they stopped. They looked on him. And they said, "We can't just give you a little. But we're getting ready to give you a lot." There are times I feel this so strong. That we have been in a place so long. That we have been in this position so long. God has allowed us to stay in this place in our life for so long. The trial has gone on and on and on and on and on. And you want it to be over, but you've learned to live around it. Can I just be honest? We've prayed, "God, heal this thing. God, touch this sickness. Lord, do a miracle in this situation." But God has not. And so we've learned to get the pieces of bread and what we can from the Word of God. And we get our blessing and we go on and we live for God. But that issue is still there. It goes with us every day, every day, every day, every day. And we reach up to God one day and we say, God, shake our cup. God, I just need enough to get through today. God, I trust you're going to give me enough. I'm messing with it here, but this is what God is saying to me. God, I trust you enough to get me through one more day. I trust you enough to get me through one more day. And wham, God reaches down and yanks you up out of that situation. I'm telling you right now, when God does that kind of a miracle, when God says, now you can dance, I'm going to put it back in you. I'm going to give it back to you. You better believe everything's going every way. God Almighty, what did God just do to me? What did God just do for me? I can't hardly contain myself. I preach this whole message for this point right here because I believe there's some people in here today that are in this place that I'm talking about. You've been waiting and you've been faithful. God, I know you love me. I know you're going to give me. I know you're going to take care of me today. But God's getting ready to yank somebody up out of that prison and deliver you. And when he does, you're going to find a way to dance. Oh, you're going to find a way to dance. And hundreds and thousands of people will come and see what God has done. Jesus, somebody needs to receive this. And you've been in prison for years. When you've been incarcerated for years, and somebody finally opens that door, there's got to be something that explodes inside the human heart. It says, thank God, I am free. Thank God, I am free. When God delivers somebody from years and years of drug addiction, they're not passive about it. You know what they do? They go back out into the street and they grab every one of the people they used to buy from and they grab every one of the people that they used to hang around with and they tow them into the house of God because they were delivered. God is in this house today. And I got to be honest with you, the devil has fought me every step of the way in this message. But if we can just get ourselves to the place that says, I'm going to dance. Oh, it's time to dance. It's time to rejoice. But the God hasn't done it yet. It's time to war dance. But God just did a miracle. It's time for me to shuck my pride and just go for Jesus. I don't care what anybody thinks. We stand all over this congregation.